As Ender expected, a good number of them instinctively launched, not toward the wall with the door in it, but toward the wall that Ender had called north, the direction that had been up when they were in the corridor. Of course, they quickly realized their mistake, but too late. They had to wait to change things until they had rebounded off the north wall. In the meantime, Ender was mentally grouping them into slow learners and fast learners. The littlest kid, the one who had been last out of the door, was the first to arrive at the correct wall, and he caught himself adroitly. They had been right to advance him. He'd do well. He was also cocky and rebellious, and probably resented the fact that he had been one of the ones Ender had sent naked through the corridors. "You," said Ender, pointing at the small one. "Which way is down?" "Toward the enemy door." The answer was quick. It was also surly, as if to say, "Okay, okay, now get on with the important stuff. Name, kid?" "This soldier's name is Bean, sir." "Get that for size or for brains?" The other boys laughed a little. "Well, Bean, you're right onto things. Now listen to me, because this matters. Nobody's going to get through that door without a good chance of getting hit. In the old days, you had 10-20 seconds before you even had to move. Now, if you aren't already streaming out of the door when the enemy comes out, you're frozen. Now, what happens when you're frozen?" "Can't move," one of the boys said. "That's what frozen means," Ender said. "But what happens to you?" It was Bean, not intimidated at all, who answered intelligently. "You keep going in the direction you started in, at the speed you were going when you were flashed."
"That's true."
"You five, there on the end, move." Startled, the boys looked at each other. Ender flashed them all. "The next five, move." They moved. Ender flashed them, too, but they kept moving, heading toward the walls. The first five, though, were drifting uselessly near the main group.
"Look at these so-called soldiers," Ender said. "Their commander ordered them to move, and now look at them. Not only are they're frozen right here, where they can get in the way, while the others, because they moved when they were ordered, are frozen down there, plugging up the enemy's lanes, blocking the enemy's vision. I imagine that about five of you have understood the point of this. And no doubt Bean is one of them, right, Bean?"
He didn't answer at first. Ender looked at him until he said,
"Right, sir."
"Then what is the point?" "When you are ordered to move, move fast, so if you get iced, you'll bounce around instead of getting in the way of your own army's operations."
"Excellent. At least I have one soldier who can figure things out."
Ender could see resentment growing in the way the other soldiers shifted their weight and glanced at each other, the way they avoided looking at Bean. "Why am I doing this? What does this have to do with being a good commander, making one boy the target of all the others? Just because they did it to me, why should I do it to him?" Ender wanted to undo his taunting of the boy, wanted to tell the others that the little one needed their help and friendship more than anyone else. But of course Ender couldn't do that. Not on the first day. On the first day, even his mistakes had to look like part of a brilliant plan. Ender hooked himself near the wall and pulled one of the boys away from the others. "Keep your body straight," said Ender. He rotated the boy in midair so his feet pointed toward the others. When the boy kept moving his body, Ender flashed him. The others laughed.
"How much of his body could you shoot?"
Ender asked the boy directly under the frozen soldier's feet.
"Mostly all I can hit is his feet."
Ender turned to the boy next to him. "What about you?"
"I can see his body."
"And you?"
A boy a little farther down the wall answered, "All of him."
"Feet aren't very big. Not much protection."
Ender pushed the frozen soldier out of the way. Then he doubled his legs under him as if he were kneeling in midair and flashed his own legs. Immediately, the legs of his suit went rigid, holding them in that position. Ender twisted himself in the air so that he knelt above the other boys. "What do you see?" he asked.
"A lot less," they said.
Ender thrust his gun between his legs. "I can see fine," he said, and proceeded to flash the boys directly under him.
"Stop me," he shouted. "Try and flash me."
They finally did, but not until he had flashed more than a third of them. He thumbed his hook and thawed himself and every other frozen soldier. "Now," he said, "which way is the enemy's gate?"
"Down." "And what is our attack position?"
Some started to answer with words, but Bean answered by flipping himself away from the wall with his legs doubled under him, straight toward the opposite wall, flashing between his legs all the way.
For a moment, Ender wanted to shout at him, to punish him. Then he caught himself, rejected the ungenerous impulse. Why should I be so angry at this little boy?
Is Bean the only one who knows how? Ender shouted.
Immediately, the entire army pushed off toward the opposite wall, kneeling in the air, firing between their legs, shouting at the top of their lungs. There may be a time, thought Ender, when this is exactly the strategy I'll need. 40 screaming boys in an unbalancing attack. When they were all at the other side, Ender called for them to attack him all at once. Yes, thought Ender, not bad. They gave me an untrained army with no excellent veterans, but at least it isn't a crop of fools. I can work with this.